On the radio that's been monitored now in London about the communist broadcast of the Arab countries has opened up a tremendous area here. Many of us knew was happening, but now London breaks the story. I'll be giving it to you. Also, John R. Rose, the heroic congressman from down in Louisiana, has put out a statement on this matter of the oil and also of the wheat. I'll give you some of that. Then across the nation, we're getting ready, all of you, to help us in every way you possibly can on our April the 6th First Amendment March. I'll give you the outline of the schedule. We're having delegations and groups come in as early as Thursday into Washington so that they can have contact with our various congressmen Thursday afternoon and Friday morning and Friday afternoon. Friday night, we're going to have our usual prayer meeting on the steps of the Capitol, on the east side of the Capitol at 7:30 in the evening. And then, of course, the big march itself gets underway at 12 noon. And I can assure you, folks, you're going to see a spectacle that Washington has never seen before. Hundreds and thousands of people calling for the First Amendment of the Constitution to be made real, that the people can get back their freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion. And here are the spokesmen for the fundamentalist religious groups of the country who are now under the gun and who have been put off radio station after radio station. The whole question of the free speech and the free exercise of religion. Radio station WSUR was put to death as number one. KAYE was put to death as number two. Other radio stations are in trouble, and this whole question must now be raised to the highest level of a grievance and of the people assembling peaceably in order that they might speak out against what's being done by our government to repress, the militant preaching of the gospel. May I say, to repress the rise of anti-communism, the forces in the country, the Christian forces, the question, the policy of Henry Kissinger and the president in supporting the communist world with American dollars and financing our enemies has now been done. This radio broadcast, however, from London has broken this question wide open, and I have considerable to say about it in the broadcast today. However, before we go on, I want to emphasize to every one of you that the economic situation, the inflation, the pressures, which have come upon all of it, here we're getting bread here where we are now up into the 80 cents a loaf. But I want you people to recognize that with these conditions, the financial situation puts the squeeze on this broadcast. It puts it on all of it. But I don't want you to let the testimony of the Lord down, and I'm going to have to ask all of you to rethink, rearrange, readjust. But don't let Dr. McIntyre's testimony be closed up because of the inflation and the pressures that have come upon us in the economic problems that the country has. Please keep us going. Now, I need some assistance, and I need it badly. We've been through the most difficult time we've ever had so far as the Christmas appeal was concerned. But, ladies and gentlemen, I know that hundreds and thousands of you are thankful that Dr. McIntyre's still in here. We're still doing the best we can. We're giving you a wonderful testimony to the gospel. We want sinners to be saved, and men are getting saved as a result of this ministry and the vital manner in which we're dealing with the issues that confront us all. Now, that's our prayer, but please, my friend, I want you to support my local committees where they make their announcements, and then I want you to support every single station that's presently carrying me. We need your help. We don't sell anything. We're not engaged in any form of commercial operation to support the broadcast. All we depend upon are the gifts, the love gifts, the understanding, the support, the finances which you people send in to us and make available because you believe that what we're doing needs to be done and that we do have a right to be heard in this country. Now let's have our prayer together, all of us. Thank you, folks. How we do thank every one of you. Please feel close to us, and please feel a part of it. And as we reach out now to this great gathering in Washington, I want just as many of you as possible to get there. Don't miss it. It's going to be thrilling. It's going to be absolutely essential. And we'll see how God Almighty is going to use it, because our trust is in him. We've lost out in the courts. Well, of course, we've still got some cases that we're appealing, but the courts haven't been able to defend our constitutional rights. We've lost out in the executive department, and this FCC Bureau is now going to be more powerful than it's ever been before if Congress passes the law that now is to be presented to it very soon. We have gone to the Congress of the United States, and things don't look too well down there at all. However, I talked to Jim Nichols late yesterday afternoon. He was over on Capitol Hill. He's doing his best to be a spokesman for himself and KOYU and helping us in WSUR. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, he tells me that there are congressmen over there right now that are just stirred up as he's never seen them stirred before over what's happening in the country and over what's happening now in the Federal Communications Commission. There is going to be open, strong opposition to this new bill, which gives the FCC more power, new fields of activity in which they're supposed to go, and the poor radio stations of this country, rather I should say the poor people of this country who have a right to hear, are going to see more restrictions than we've ever seen before. All right, let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee that we can get through to a measure of our people with the issue, but not with the names and many facts that they should have. Lord, help us. And we ask that the preachers of the country may rally to our support. We thank thee for the men who are coming and saying that they will be with us and they're going to help us. Let every gospel radio preacher in this country keep the doors open so that the word of God can continue to be preached. And especially, our Father, wilt thou bless the work that we're trying to do in this great field. Be with John Rarick. Be with these other congressmen and these senators down there that have come to our aid because they see the issues that we are suffering under. We pray for the sick, the troubled, the afflicted, the shut-ins, those who listen to us from their bedsides. God bless every one of them. And we thank thee that this country has been a land where freedom has been the order of the day, the most priceless heritage that any nation has had. Wilt thou enable us to keep it, and now wilt thou bless us as we prepare to go to the nation's capital in this great First Amendment rally, this march and this rally. Help us, Father, and we ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, may I remind you that I'm asking everybody to memorize Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. The only description of Christ in the Bible. It's the living Christ, the glorified Christ. And we see him there in chapter 1. And since this book, as I've told you, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, we must see him all through the book. He's all through it. And from Revelation chapter 1, when we see him, he then presides over the seven churches and speaks to them. He then is the great center of the adoration and praise of the worship in heaven in chapter 4 and 5. He then opens up, of course, the seven seals in chapters 7 and 8 and 9. All in this area, he opens these seals, he presides. And we've come to this wonderful verse where we read that there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, I want to say a word about that silence to you just now, but I want you to stay with me because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we get to chapter 19, he is unveiled, the apocalypse, and he's unveiled before the whole world. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And in his glory unveiling, he comes back to the earth, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Then he deals with the dragon, the Antichrist, the old beast, the false prophet, and he removes them and gets them out of the way. And then our Lord Jesus Christ takes the reins of power on the face of this earth as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. Now, folks, I want you to see what God has given to the church. He's given it to us, that we might understand the conclusion of the matter and how he's going to deal with this whole earth in righteousness and in judgment. But those of us who've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, those of us who've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, We're going to be delivered from the wrath that shall fall upon this earth, and we are now waiting, all of us, patiently, unto the coming of the Lord, which to us will be the first phase, or the rapture, when we are caught into the clouds. We know neither the day nor the hour. He said, watch, watch, watch. And that's what we're doing. But he also said, occupy and occupy. He also said to go into all the world and carry this message among all the nations. And this is the orders that we are under. He also has told us to take the things, all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that means that we are people who believe that the whole Bible has been given to the people of God. And the whole counsel of God must be presented. And so Dr. McIntyre takes his stand on these questions of righteousness and the laws of God being honored among men. So Dr. McIntyre speaks out against sin and wickedness. And so I call for a great march, and we rally together. And the impact of what we have been doing in this country is being felt all over this nation. And thank God for it. This is Carl McIntyre, the 20th Century Reformation Hour. Now we read that there was silence in heaven for the space of about a half hour. Can you imagine all these hallelujahs being silent? Can you imagine every single creature in heaven simply closing his mouth and standing there in total silence? Well, that's what happened. And there are three reasons that I think there are three elements of the silence. But the first one is that this is the quiet before the storm. The most dreadful storm that has ever come over the earth is just about to break. And this is the silence of that storm. You people living out in the west, I was reared down in Oklahoma, and we used to have those little black stormy clouds come over in the late afternoon. And the birds would quit singing, and the rabbits would run for their holes, you know, and there was a silence. And my mother used to say, son, this is the silence before the storm. And that's what you've got in that great passage in Revelation. But also there is in it the consternation in the realization of what actually is going on down on the earth. The consternation among the saints that this is going to be happening, and great wrath, the depths of the wrath, the fullness of the wrath, the justice of God and how that justice is being vindicated. God hath poured out his wrath. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. And here it comes. And the saints in glory stand in pause and in silence in the sight of these seven trumpets and what they're going to be doing in pouring out this wrath upon the earth. And then, beloved, there is, of course, the fact that during that time of silence, everyone will be looking to Jesus Christ. Just to look upon him who delivered us, whose blood cleansed us, whose hands bore the nail prints of the cross. Just to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in that great moment when he administers the justice of God and pours out upon the wickedness of mankind and the old devil himself what they all deserve for their rebellion and their sin against God. Oh, beloved, in that moment of silence, every eye will be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a Savior. And all eternity is going to be for us the fullness of Jesus Christ. We're going to see him. We're going to live and reign with him. We're going to praise his name. We're going to be silent in his presence, the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. And in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in Jesus Christ, we're told that we are complete in him. Oh, my friend, this broadcast of the 20th Century Reformation Hour is preaching the fullness of the gospel and the glories of Christ and the wonders of his grace to us. Let us believe. Let us trust. Let us be saved. Let us not be ashamed. Let us contend earnestly for the faith, and let's stand for righteousness and good order, and let's go out today, ladies and gentlemen, and tell men everywhere of the love of God. Thank you, my dear friend. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And as we come to the climax of all the scripture, as we come to the conclusion of the ages, as we come to the end of history, here Jesus Christ stands astride of it all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How glorious, how elegant, how magnificent, how full of praise the heavens will be, for this is Jesus Christ the Messiah, the one anointed of God, the one whom he hath appointed the heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world. Jesus Christ, ladies, we want to preach him, we want to follow him, we want to be his servants, we want to suffer for him, we will do anything for Jesus Christ, we lay down our lives for him. Now, God bless every one of you. Now, to be reaching of these rallies that we're going to be in, some of you will be able to go to them from the various places that we are. But first, we have the rally tomorrow evening, and you people out in York, Pennsylvania, York County, can come to the Bible Presbyterian Church on the Spring Road at 7:30 tomorrow night. And then on Friday night, we're going into the Washington, D.C. area, over there in Falls Church, the Graham Road Public School it is, on 3036 Graham Road, Falls Church. Maybe some of you folks from down in the Richmond area who are getting this, and some of you folks up in the Baltimore area can come to that meeting in Falls Church. 3036 Graham Road. March the 19th, we're going over to Knoxville, Tennessee, the Holston High School in Knoxville. March the 20th, I'll be at the Underwood Auditorium, Vanderbilt University, Nashville, Tennessee. March the 21st, Milton, Pennsylvania, the fairgrounds there, north of Danville, Pennsylvania. That's Route 254. March the 22nd, we'll be over in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, near Altoona, the Hollidays Junior High School. These are dates, one right after 19, 20, 21, 22. Now the 25th, which is Monday, we'll be down in the Tidewater area, the Norfolk, Virginia area, in the Grace Baptist Church, 3423 East Seals Point Road in Norfolk. The 26th will be at the Lane College Center, Frostburg State College, over there in Frostburg, Maryland. We're looking for quite a crowd from you folks up in that area. The 28th, we're going down to the High School Auditorium in Valdez, North Carolina. Now, we have a station there, and I'm hoping that for the first time I'll be able to get in there in all these years, and I'll be able to meet many, many of you people. And that, of course, is down in the territory of Senator Sam Irwin. March the 31st, we'll have a big Sunday afternoon rally over in Philadelphia, in the northeast section of Philadelphia, in the Bible Presbyterian Church. Now, Wes Auger's out in rallies. Jim Nichols is out in rallies. We're doing all we can to get through to you good people. I have here this story about the broadcast that was broken for us from London. Now, remember, this didn't come out of the United States. It came from London. The Soviet Union, in Arabic broadcast, is urging nations to resist American pressures to lift the oil embargo. Last evening, we heard it on the radio in this country. Now, the New York Times this morning does have a story out of Washington. But remember, the story from Washington did not break until the British opened the story up. A broadcast monitored in London spotlighted Moscow's displeasure with the successes scored by Secretary of State Kissinger in the Middle East, recalling that the oil embargo was imposed on countries supporting Israel to secure Israel's withdrawal from occupied Arab lands. The broadcast said, if today some Arab leaders are ready to surrender in the face of American pressure and lift the ban on oil before those demands are fulfilled, they are taking a chance by challenging the whole Arab world and, listen to this, this is your communist line, the progressive forces of the whole world, which insist on the continued use of the oil weapon. Now that's Radio Moscow, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting in Arabic to the Arab nations, saying that the progressive forces, that is, the communist forces of the whole world, are insisting that they do not lift the oil embargo. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have been telling you that this is exactly what's been going on. And following Mr. Kissinger's visit to Syria, to Damascus the other day, the next day, in went Gromyko, the foreign minister of the Soviet Union. And Gromyko goes in immediately after. Gromyko comes over here and meets the president and says one thing to him. Then he flies down to Cuba and he says another thing down there to Cuba, just the opposite. And Gromyko is doing what he can to embarrass and to hurt and injure the United States of America. I feel like sitting here on this broadcast this morning and saying to you, I told you so, I told you so. But I'm telling you, folks, that the Russians aren't our friends. And you can't give them enough to make them our friends. They're out to take over this world, and the whole policy of Kissinger and Nixon and what they call détente, peaceful coexistence, is utterly bankrupt. It's a fraudulent thing from the very heart of it out, and the Soviets are out to destroy us. And when they get us over the barrel, and the barrel doesn't have any oil in it, and we're asking for oil, and we find ourselves with our hats in our hands, and we're pleading for some kind of relief, here we are, the Soviet Union puts on a radio broadcast and says to the Arab world, don't you lift that embargo. You keep the American people over there standing before their filling stations. And you keep the American people over there all upset by their internal economic troubles which we've helped create. Ladies and gentlemen, in the presence of all this, our government has the nerve to ask that we give to Moscow all the privileges of favored nation treatment in matter of trade, that all restrictions be lifted in any matter, and that Russia be given the favored nation treatment in all these areas of selling her, building up, financing her, and no restrictions of any kind will be placed upon the United States business community for their trade with the communists. This is absolutely insane. But we're doing it. And any man who gets up and says, like Dr. McIntyre does, that we're transgressing high principles of morality, we're undercutting the cause of freedom, well, we've got to get him off the radio. We've got to silence his voice in this country. Now, Mr. John Lowe put out a release, and may I read you this? Let the West finance its own destruction. The Arab oil-producing countries are not the only ones reaping a handsome profit from the energy crisis. The Russians have now gotten into the act. The Soviets recently sold, and that's in quotation marks, military armaments to Iraq in exchange for $13 million worth of Iraqi oil. The petroleum was never intended for use in Mother Russia, however. It was resold for $40 million in hard currency to West Germany even before the Iraqis delivered it. For their efforts at playing the middleman, the Soviet wheeler dealers pocketed a net profit of $27 million. Sounds familiar. It is the same technique the Russians used 2 years ago when they pulled off the great grain robbery, and he has that in quotation marks, which sent food prices in this country into orbit. In the case of the wheat deal, it will be remembered the Russians received taxpayer subsidies and were able to purchase our wheat at bargain basement prices. Some 200,000 tons of the U.S. wheat were delivered for resale to Bangladesh as a Soviet public relations gesture, even before it left the port in Houston. Recent reports now indicate that the Russians are willing to sell some of their wheat back to the United States. Last April, the Soviet market manipulators arranged another deal with the European Common Market to purchase 200,000 tons of butter at 17 cents a pound, while the market price was around 93 cents a pound. It was assumed at the time that the cheap butter would be used on bread made from cheap U.S. wheat. As it turned out, much of the butter was resold at a profit to the communist government of Chile. Thank you, Mr. Rarick, for bringing this information out and giving it to the public. Ladies and gentlemen, you, wherever you are, better wake up to the fact that we are selling our souls. We're compromising our freedom. We're undermining our security. We're building our enemies. And to think that the Soviets are now riding high, wide, and handsome at our expense. But I tried to tell you on this broadcast that the Russians were the ones that equipped the Arab world, the Egyptians with their latest missiles and their sophisticated weaponry. Well, had on it equipment that the United States now admits it didn't even know they had or they were using. But they did it and made possible the October War. The Russians were behind all of that. The Russians were behind the genius of the oil embargo as the Arab nations have developed it. Now the Russians have gotten to the point where they'll even put it on a broadcast in Arabic to the Middle East, telling them that the whole progressive world is backing them if they will simply refuse to lift the embargo and keep the United States on tender hooks. God bless you, folks. God bless you. I've gone as far as I can go today, but we're dealing with these foreign nations, and I can talk about these foreign broadcasts. But I want you people, all of you, to say, Doctor, we're coming with you down to Washington. We're going to be with you in the great First Amendment march. You people up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I'm anxious to see you come in. You folks across Michigan, you folks from Illinois, you men up in Milwaukee and up in Madison and that area, please, some of you come down. And I want you to bring your banners with the state. Tell me, Wisconsin is for freedom. Wisconsin is against a sellout to the Russians. Wisconsin, let's see what Illinois is going to tell us. You folks from Ohio, bring your banners and come on in. We'll have a great congregation there on about the Washington Monument there in the great outdoors on Saturday afternoon before Palm Sunday. Yes, we have a right to peaceably assemble and to redress grievances. And as Christians, we've got plenty of grievances right now, especially the repression of speech by the Federal Communications Commission. The terror, the harassment, the intimidation, the fear that has been generated across this country by this unelected, by these bureaucrats in the Federal Communications Commission. This is Carl McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen, and I have now a packet which we're preparing to present to Congress on the First Amendment. It goes back and brings in the latest developments, especially Dean Burch, the things that have been said there. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I read you that story from the Associated Press where the President actually said that Dean Burch would be handling the concerns of the White House as they relate to the FCC. Folks, the White House must keep its hands off the FCC. And I'm afraid that the hands of the White House have a lot to do with the death of radio station WXUR and with the troubles that we're now having. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. My address is Carl McIntyre, the 20th Century Reformation Hour, Carl Lings Wood, New Jersey. Now, will you join us in prayer? It's prayer we need. God's people must go to our great high priest in the heavenly. He'll present our prayers to the Father. Let's go to him and ask him to undertake for us. And will you please heed the very urgent appeal that I made at the opening of the broadcast just now, that you people get behind this broadcast. I must have some more help, folks. I know the times are tight, but let's not lose out because we don't have the financial support to keep the various stations going. You see, this increase in our economic troubles affects our finances and it affects our speech, see? But don't fail us. Please stand by us. And those of you, I've been telling you all across the land, rewrite your wills. We're going to have your help. But thank God I was able to get through to you today about the radio broadcast that London opened up and broke first to the American people about the Soviets' appeal to the Arab world not to lift the oil embargo. Bye-bye.
Right to the 20th Century Reformation Hour, making your checks payable to that program, but sending them through the local committee for broadcast use on KURL. That's Box 962 in Billings, the 20th Century Reformation Hour.